God's good.
Yes,
God's so good. You know, you're involved in, some people are looking for the spectacular, but you know, you're involved in something supernatural right here, right now. You realize what is going on right now, even God is with us and he's for us. He's with us all the time. If you're born again, if you're saved, then the Bible says you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. So he's always with us. But he manifests himself in different ways, and when we're gathered together, the Bible told us not to forsake the gathering of yourselves together. It says that he gave gifts unto men for the equipping of the saints, for the work to do the work of the ministry. So when we're gathered together like we are right now, it's supernatural what's going on. If we're doing what we need to do, if I'm flowing with him, then you're not just hearing from me, you're hearing from him. And if you're doing your job expecting to hear from him, then right now, you're hearing just a spirit-inspired words that he speaks, and that's what changes our lives. If we'll receive it, it's the anointed. The anointing just means the Holy Spirit upon how he works. You say somebody's anointed to do something, it's God is working specially with that person. If you say somebody is anointed to sing, that means when they sing, the Spirit of God is on them. To anointing to preach is it's God-inspired utterance, the equipping to do that. People can be anointed to run businesses. People can be anointed to teach in schools. It's not, it's whatever God has called you to do. Do you realize what God has called you to do? There's an anointing that goes with it. If he tells you to do something, then when you step out to do it, the enablement is there to do it. And it's supernatural. It's equipment to do it. And so what we're doing here, it's supernatural. When we hear the Word of God, the anointed Word of God, that's what will break the yoke. That's what will change our lives. You can get something in a minute, in a second, that a Word, God can just deposit something in your heart. The Word's coming. You may have heard that scripture. You may have seen it 50 times before, but you see it in your heart and you're changed. And it's different. You're different. You just saw it. It opened up and it's spiritual. You saw something that you may have heard, but now you really heard it. And the eyes of your understanding are opened and now you're changed. And God can do that. You can have that in one instant. That's something that you've been bumping your head up against for 10 years. And that's the way he does it. And praise God. He's good. It's just so important. What you're doing tonight, when you come out and you come to church, that's faith right there, especially on a day like this. It's true. You are, you know, people could call you fanatics because you're here on a Wednesday night and you're ready. You're hearing, you are putting yourself in a position to hear from God and to receive his word. And that's what changes us. So we have been talking about what faith is, and these messages, just kind of as an outline, on Wednesday nights we talk about, or not talk about, but we preach and teach on faith and healing. We've been doing that for a little over 5 years now on Wednesday nights, but that's what we believe God told us, led us to do, to teach and preach on faith and healing. And so most of the time we'll be using a Bible study called Bible Faith Study Course, or something like it. They use the healing ones too, but from Rhema, put out these years and years ago. And so we use that kind of as an outline, but we don't follow it really very closely. It's just kind of as a framework that we'll go through and teach certain lessons. So, you know, that's where some of these things are from. But we've been talking about what faith is. And if you haven't heard those messages, I encourage you to go back and listen to them, because we're building, these will build, and we're not going to repeat everything we said last week. We couldn't do that, otherwise we'd just do the same thing. But we will touch on some of these things that we've been covering. But we've talked about some things faith is not, because sometimes when you you're defining something, it's helpful to talk about what it's not. It gives a more clear picture sometimes of what it is. And so we're not going to go into that a lot tonight, because we've already touched on some of those things, but we talked about that faith is not wishing. You know, just because you need something, just because you want something badly, that's not faith. And a lot of people misunderstand that. You know, faith is not in your head, it's in your heart. So it's not something you see, a lot of people try to come to God intellectually and try to understand with your intellect. You can't do that. It's not that you can't understand some things about God or some things in the Bible. Of course, you're using your mind to read the Bible, but the Bible says that the natural man doesn't receive the spiritual things. It doesn't understand them. And that's why people go, well, the Bible doesn't make any sense. Until you're born again, it won't make any sense. And when you take that step of faith, people are trying to have it explained to them and to be proven to them that Jesus is the Christ. The Bible does not say that. It doesn't say to try to debate people into the kingdom of God. It says go and preach the gospel. People can believe or they can't believe. Now, the Bible does say be ready to give an answer why you believe what you believe, but that's not the same as proving it. You know, nobody can take away from you your testimony and what God did for you. They can talk to their blue in the face and say that doesn't exist or whatever, but hey, you know what God did for you. They can say it's a coincidence. Well, I beg to differ. I was there, and I knew what was going on. And so people can't shake that out of you. You can give a reason for your hope. That's not the same as trying to sit down and debate somebody because it's impossible. At some point, people are going to have to step out and they're going to have to believe God by faith. Because faith is of the heart, it's not of the head. And so we talked about that. We're not going to go into that. But we talked about last week that faith is active, that you have to act on faith. Faith without action is dead. If you believe, you can have faith for something but not have received it. In the same way, you can try to act on something but not believe anything and nothing will happen either. And we talked a little bit about this. We're going to go over a few of these scriptures and we're going to go a little bit further in the same vein. But as we get going, let's go over to Hebrews 11:1. This is kind of the verse we've started with. And our text talking about faith, in this series anyway. So Hebrews 11:1. So, let's see how we can do this. There's some things I'd like to touch on, but sometimes when you turn to things, then it slows down. But we'll try to do it briefly. I'm not going to try to preach on some of the things that I preached on last week, but we will touch on them and go a little bit further. Hebrews 11:1, though, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith, it's the substance, or we talked about this before, the undergirding or the title deed or the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we talked about this, what hope means there is expectation. So faith is why you expect something. You believe something, so you expect something. And when you see hope in the Bible, it doesn't mean wish, and we spent a whole lot of time on that. We're not going to review that. It doesn't mean wish. Like when we use hope, we mean wish usually. Hope, Bible hope, means expectation. So when you see it here, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means the things that you expect. It's the evidence of things not seen. So even though you can't see it with your physical eyes, faith is the evidence that it's true. Not because you can see it, but because you believe it. And that's why, you know, it's of the heart, because your head could be telling you it's not true. But your heart is saying, oh yeah, it is, and you have to go with your heart. Now, in this vein that we have to act, let's turn over. Now, I'm going to try to do this relatively quick, but you know, if we stay there, we'll stay there. But Acts 14, go to Acts 14, verse 7. And then, let's just try it this way. Also, look at Joshua. So go to Acts and put your finger in there to hold it. Acts 14 And then we're going to go to Joshua chapter 6. So Joshua is right after Deuteronomy. You go all the way back to the beginning, you know, after the first five books of the Bible, then there's Joshua. So like in my Bible, it's like about, you know, like a seventh or an eighth of the Bible through. It's probably true, too. Yeah, about a sixth. It's like about 1,200 pages and about 200. That's not going to help you at all, but anyway, while you're finding it. Acts 14 and Joshua 6. Sometimes people get caught up in trying to find things in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you know, especially if you get in the minor prophets or something. And I don't know. But I had this one guy I knew. I haven't talked to him for quite a while, but he's an evangelist. And he was telling the story. He got flustered. He was going to turn to the Psalms. I don't know what the condition was, and he got flustered. And he was having trouble finding Psalms, and he was like, all you got to do in any Bible is basically open it to the middle and you'll hit the Psalms. And he goes, I couldn't find it, and I was getting nervous. But it's pretty true. Psalms are right about in the middle. All right, you guys find Acts 14 and Joshua 6. So two areas we went over last time. So Acts 14. Verse 7, it says, and they were preaching the gospel there. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. So Paul and Barnabas are preaching, and a certain man without strength in his feet, he's a cripple from his mother's womb. He's never, ever walked. He didn't just, like, break his leg or just become crippled. He's never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now, look at here. It says, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, had never walked. So he's listening to Paul. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. But notice at this point, the man is not healed. So he had faith to be healed, but he's not healed. So then Paul says in a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. So we talked about this last time. The man had faith to be healed, but he hadn't acted on the faith, and so he wasn't healed. So you can have faith for something, believe, but if you don't release faith, if you don't act on it, you won't have it. Now, that runs contrary to what a lot of people think, and the same thing, people think if they wish hard enough or they ask God enough that it'll happen. People have a lot of misconceptions about faith. This is one of them. Well, I'm just believing. Yeah, but are you acting on it? Because you have to act on it. Faith is acting on God's word. That's what it is. It's acting like what God said is true. And if you say, oh, I believe, but you don't act like it, you don't really believe. You can talk, you can say, I believe, but, and when you hear that but, don't really believe it. I believe God meets all my needs, but don't know what's going on. You just said you don't really believe it. Because if he meets all my needs, then that's where I stop, and then I'm going to do my part and act on it. I believe he's healed me, but, and if we don't act on it, this guy could have said, now, he has never walked. He's never, ever walked. So when Paul says, stand up straight on your feet, his response could have been, I can't. Because he's never walked. So he's sitting. He can't walk. But no, notice, Paul saw that he had faith. You can see faith in people. And he said, stand up and walk. And people, see, they read this and they think it's automatic. Somehow the Holy Spirit just grabbed him and stood him up. That's not what it says. Paul says, stand up. Notice, he saw faith in him. This was not, Paul saw that he had faith, and so he said to him, basically, act on your faith. And the guy stood up. But he could have said, I can't. He had to act on it. And when he hadn't acted on it, he was still crippled. So we went over that last time. Went on in some detail, but we're going to move on. Joshua 6. You guys still have your finger there? I took mine out. Joshua 6. So here is the account of Jericho. Look at verse 3, Joshua 6, 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now this is saying, the Lord told this to Joshua, he's saying what's going to happen. But the people had to obey this. If they would have just sat at home and said, well, the walls are going to fall down flat, that's not what God said. He said you need to do something, and then it's going to happen. And so that's what they did. So if you go to verse 15, so they had been going around, actually verse 14 says, the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. So they had kept doing the once around. Then verse 15, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times, and the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now we touched on this last time too. Notice what Joshua said. He said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now let me ask you a question. Right now, are the walls still up? And notice what Joshua said. He said, has given. So is that past, present, or future? But he's saying, but the walls are still up. See, right, him saying that, that's faith right there. And he's telling them to shout. Why? Because God's already done this. He's telling them to act on the word. And this is the same thing in any part of the word. When you see a promise of God and he has said something to you, something has been bought and paid for, it won't happen until we take God at his word and start acting like what he said is true. They could have said, shouting is not going to do any good. They didn't have to shout. Right? They're looking, they could have just been looking at him going, what are you talking about, man? We've been walking around 6 days. Now I know what you said, seventh day something's going to happen, but I haven't seen anything. You told me to shout, and you said the Lord has given. Well, if he has given us a city, why are the walls still up? They could have gotten back in his face, right? God was not making them. See, we look at the Bible so many times and we read it like they're different people than us, like they're mystical beings somehow. Like they were preordained to do all this, and that's just not so. That's not what the Bible teaches. But the Bible says, choose this day who you're going to serve. We need to choose. And you can choose to believe God or not. But he's done the same thing. It's the same way. We have accounts in the Bible of what God has given us and already paid for through Jesus. And so then we're to act on it and say, God has already done this for me. God has already paid for it. And you can still, just like they did, you could look, though, at your circumstance and say, well, if he's supplied all my needs, where's the money? If he's already healed me, why do I still have the symptoms, huh? That's unbelief. He said, act like it before you see it. Hold your finger in Joshua and just look, just lay your eyes on Mark 11. Now there's in Matthew, same thing, but we'll turn here. But just look, this, the Bible does not say you wait to see it and then you'll have it. Once you see it, then you know you have it. It doesn't say that. It says you have to believe. So go to Mark 11, verse 22. We'll read this just so you lay your eyes on it. Because it goes right along with everything we're saying. We have to act on something. And here's the good news. All of us are in the same boat, in a general sense, as the people we're reading about tonight. The Israelites, this man, we have the option to believe God or to reject His word. And what we get, our results, don't have so much to do with what God has done because He's already done it. He's already provided it through Jesus. It's how we react to it. And you can see this very clearly because there are people all over the world that are rejecting Jesus and rejecting salvation, yet God has already paid for it. Well, it's not any different with healing. It's not any different with finances. Not any different with relationships. You can say, well, you know, my spouse or my brother, or my sister or my mother, my father, whoever, you know, when they change, then I'll start loving them. That's not the Bible. Well, when I see it, then I'll do something. Well, tell me, if both people are in a stalemate and they're waiting for the other one to change, you're done. Right? If one person's saying, I'll change, I'll react when they start doing something different. The other one's saying, well, I'll treat them differently when they do this. You're done. It's a stalemate. Somebody's got to be a doer of the word. Somebody's got to act like the Bible's true. And I say this, and I believe it's true. This doesn't let the women off the hook, but in a marriage relationship, if the man's the true leader, he ought to be the one to give. If there's a fight, I'm not saying it ought to be the man every time, but if it's been going for a while, the man ought to, if he's going to be the leader, he ought to humble himself and break the silence. That just went over like a lead balloon. Even the women, I mean, you could at least said amen. But if the what, you know, sometimes I'm not going to get on the guys, but some people twist the Bible, and boy, they've twisted it in this area. In some areas, you know, made it like the man being the head of the household is some kind of domineering thing. It's the farthest thing from it. Because Jesus is our head, and is he domineering and rude? No. He did what? He laid his life down. And that's what a true leader would do. And so you don't get to call the shots unless you're willing to take the responsibility. Boy, that went over real well too. It's the truth. People want to complain about the CEO getting this or that, but the CEO is taking responsibility for the whole thing. That's a lot different than the guy that doesn't have any responsibility. Don't like that either, huh? That's not popular in today's culture, but, you know, people got to wake up. Look, if you're running the whole thing, you have a lot more responsibility than the guy that just, you know, not knocking somebody that's starting, you know, in certain positions, but don't expect to get paid the same. And yeah, there have been abuses. There have been abuses everywhere. Humans are humans. That doesn't mean everybody should get paid the same. That's a fallacy. Because you know what that leads to? Nobody wants to do anything. I don't got to do anything to get paid. Why do I do anything? That's where it leads. Anyway, we'll get off that. But no, there is a responsibility. So we were talking about somebody breaking the silence. The man ought to do it if he's going to be the leader. But not every time. I'm not saying that he apologizes every time. You know, if the woman's wrong, she should. But anyway, we're talking about acting in faith. Well, I believe God, but I'm not doing anything with you until you change that attitude. Well, I believe in my heart. I'm just not going to apologize. Okay, well, that's not acting on it. But it's the same with every area. Believing God and acting on God's the same with every area. You have situations that can change tomorrow if we'll act on the word. People, is it not true that people, there are people all over that could get born again tomorrow if they'd act on what God said? And you know there are people that look, and the Bible says faith comes by hearing, the word comes, and faith is there, but they could say, I'm not quite ready. That's not the same as acting on the word. That's not the same as confessing Jesus, and you know what? They can go to hell. They could keep putting it off, never act on it, and go to hell. Well, it's the same thing with Christianity. Any number of the things that God has already provided through Jesus, if we say, oh, I believe, when's it going to happen, and we don't act on it, we could do without and go your whole life without it. We can go our whole life and people die this way. I just am waiting for God to heal me. Well, we need to act like it's true. And like we were saying, we are humans just like the people we're reading about. Now, you guys at Mark 11? Mark 11, 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Notice it says, he will have whatever he says. Will have is future tense. Notice verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then what? You will have them. Do you believe you receive them before you have them or after? Before. You need to believe before. Well, how would you know you believe? You believe, but you need to act. And one way you can always act is by saying it. You can release your faith by agreeing with the word and saying it. The money will come in. Amen. My body's strong. You don't feel like it. No, my arm's strong. My heart's strong. You can start releasing it. Just you doing that does something. You're releasing it. You're agreeing with it. You could be saying, well, I just don't. When is this going to happen? That's not faith. You start saying what you believe. My business does well. My business, every need is met. The bills, I'm in the black. Now, the Bible says to call those things that be not as though they were. That's not lying. That's agreeing with God's word. If you were to, that's not saying it looks like that now. That's saying that's what I see. Because go back to Joshua. We're reading in Joshua 6, verse 15. It says, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpet that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Was Joshua lying? Yeah, but he said, God has given you the city. Didn't he know the walls were still up? When you say God has healed you, what do you do? If you quote a scripture, and the Bible says, 1 Peter 2:24, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses by his stripes. I mean, I'm putting some other things in there, but it says by his stripes you were healed, putting it together with Matthew 8:17. By his stripes you were healed. Well, if you were, then you are. Either that's true, because Matthew 8:17 says he himself, he took your infirmities, he bore your sicknesses. Past tense. Amen. So do we believe? If that's true, then 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. But I'm not. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. It's not a lie to agree with the Word. It's not a, you are agreeing with what he said and calling those things that be not as though they were. So it says, shout for the Lord has given you the city. Verse 17, now the city shall be doomed. Okay, that's the next thing I wanted to actually, verse 16. So he said that. And so verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city and every man straight before him, and they took the city. What if they just stood there and go, well, I'm going to shout once the wall is down. I'm going to wait, and once we have something to celebrate, then I'm going to shout. Nothing would have happened. But that's what a lot of people are doing. Well, when I'm healed, then I'm gonna be happy. But I'm sad. See, if we're sad, then we don't really believe the Word. I don't know. I'm not gonna say I'm healed if I'm not healed. We're not talking about denying symptoms. Yes, it hurts. Yes, that's there. But once you know that, you don't have to talk about that. You start talking what the Word says. But according to the Word, my body's strong. I'm going to call the Word. I'm going to call my body according to the Word. Now, let's go over to Luke 5. We'll see another example of this. So, we want to make sure that we're not just waiting for things to come to us. We need to believe what God has said and act like what He said is true. Faith is acting on the Word of God. Acting like what He said is the truth. So Luke 5, we'll go to verse 17. Luke 5:17 says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now notice that. Just right there, notice Jesus is sitting, or he's teaching, and these people had come out to criticize him. They're sitting there waiting to criticize him, but the Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of Jesus. Midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven. Now notice verse 20, when he saw their faith. What did he see? He saw them trying to get this man, he said their faith, the people that were bringing him and the man, because he's letting them carry him around. But Jesus said, you guys have faith. Why? Because they're doing something about it. They're trying to get to Jesus. Why would they go to all that effort? Because they believe something. They believe if they get to Jesus, something's going to happen. So they are acting on it. They are acting on what Jesus has done and what they believe. So Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Now, notice they had faith. Jesus saw their faith when they're coming. But the man is still paralyzed. And notice, Jesus said something to him. But that man could have easily... you knew he had faith because he's coming in. But he still could have been like, "Well, we got all here, but now you're telling me to get up?" He can't. Get this part, because people, again, we read it sometimes with religious glasses and think this is automated by God. Now, there are places in the Bible that's apart from people's faith. This is not one of them. They had faith. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. So that was part of it. There are places where it is a moving of God. It's a gift of the Spirit. And those things do happen. The thing is, you can't depend on that. That's as the Spirit wills. You say, why do those happen, certain things? I'm not God. Ask Him. I'm serious. I don't know. But God knows, and it's not because He's playing favorites. There's something going on, and you can, but the thing is, you can wait your whole life and that never happen. But you can believe God and what He said now. You can act on the Word today. We can choose to be one of the people that acts on what He's already said. If He's already promised us, not promised us, He's paid for it, healing, then we can choose to start acting like it's true now, today. Or we can say, "Well, I just don't know. I don't see it." Well, then we're not in the place where we're really believing. But Jesus said, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately He rose up before them, took what he had been lying on, and departed to His own house, glorifying God. Now people say, "Well, that was automatic." No, it wasn't. He responded to what Jesus said. And to begin with, he was already acting in faith, just getting there. So then they were all amazed and glorified God. Praise God. So this man could have said, when Jesus told him to get up, he could have said, I can't possibly get up. I'm paralyzed. Heal me first and then I'll get up. But he didn't. He acted on it. When we're in faith, then we'll receive answers to prayer. If we don't act on God's word, then that's when we're just waiting for something to happen before we believe. That means we have that order and it won't happen. We need to receive before we see. Brother Hagin tells a story, an account from a friend along these same lines. He says, "I remember several years ago, a friend of mine told me of a service in which a woman evangelist ministered in the early days of Pentecost. This woman evangelist was ministering to four people in wheelchairs. All she said to them in a very quiet tone was, 'Rise and walk in Jesus' name.' And they all got up and walked except one. The one who was left sitting in a wheelchair said, 'I can't walk.' The woman evangelist said the others couldn't walk either, but they did. The woman in the wheelchair answered, 'I know they did, but I can't. I haven't walked in years. I can't walk.' The evangelist had to walk away and leave her sitting there." See, the others started to act on the word that was spoken to them, and they got the results. When we act on what God's word says or what He's spoken to our heart, then the results come, because that's faith. But notice, I mean, it's as clear as day in this account. It's four people lined up. None of them can walk. By the Spirit of God, the woman said, the evangelist says, rise up and walk. Three of them did exactly what we just read in the Bible several times. They acted on the word because they could not walk. That's why they're there. They can't. She said, rise up and walk. Three of them acted and the power of God hit them and they got up. One of them said, I can't. Well, isn't that the same as the guy that was crippled from his mother's womb? He could have said, I can't. I can't. I've never taken, why are you telling me to get up? I can't. This man, even though he was carried in, it says he's paralyzed. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. He could have said, I can't. It's the same thing. And right now, if we know what the word says, and we say we believe it, but we won't act on it, then it's the same situation. We can be waiting. See, we're talking about faith is active. Faith is an action. It's an action. It's acting on the Word of God. Either what He's already said in His Word, in the written Word, or what He's spoken to your heart. If He's spoken something to your heart, then you act on it, act like it's true. Well, you know, I'm waiting for the circumstances to change before I do what He told me to do. I'm waiting for the money to be there. Well, maybe you need to act like the word's true and start making steps in that direction, and then the money comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You guys just have 1 minute for it? We're bumping up against our time here. It might take just a little more than 1 minute, but I'll give you an example. When we moved out here to follow God, to start this church, we number one, we were going to need to sell our house, and this was in 2006, and the market was beginning to soften. We bought a house when we went to Broken Arrow, and we had sold our house. We had experience. When we sold our house in Lincoln, Nebraska, we put our house on the market ourselves, and it sold in 2 weeks. And we were going to Bible school. And then when this was 3 years later, we bought a house. We went down there, and we sold it, and did fine on it. But we put it on the market, and it sold 3 weeks later. But when we were looking at, I mean, we just got done through going through Bible school, you know, and we're working to get through, and I still did engineering and everything, but I'm going to move out here, and we're going to do the move and, you know, get an apartment and get all settled. And there's certain things we said, we're moving out there. We didn't have everything lined up to be able to do it. But as we were moving, I mean, not right at the end, but I mean, when we started saying, no, we're doing it, stuff happened, and we had everything we needed. But if we would have sat there and said, and we talked about it, going into January, we were like, you know, we're just going to stay here for a year, we'll get certain things in place, and we'll save this and that, we'll get it, and then maybe we'll move. And when we would think about it, it was like, no, it's time to go now. Well, we didn't have certain things. We didn't know how certain things would work out. But we put it in motion and started saying, all right, we're going to do this. And stuff fell into place. But it wasn't, if we would have said, well, if we're supposed to do it, then it should be here, we could have waited and missed God. And the timing's important. And we could go into more detail about some of that stuff, but I think that's good. But God is so faithful. You can't wait to see. Before you believe, we got to believe, and then we'll see. So faith is acting on His Word. You boil that, faith is Bible faith is acting on what God said. Amen.